Hey friends, we're back live. Thanks so much for joining us today. Henrik here with Red Ice TV. We're doing No Go Zone today because it's Wednesday, my dudes. A few minutes late here, but thank you for tuning in nonetheless. Appreciate it. And also, of course, as usual, shout out to those joining us later on in the archives. BitChute, Odyssey, Red Ice TV, redicemembers.com, and what VK, Rumble. There's a number of other places we go out on or upload our show, I should say, as well. Or maybe you watch through Telegram where we post the shows as well after the fact. So I think Telegram is doing they have live audio thing, and I was thinking at least if we do interviews that maybe are less, you know, kind of video, you know, intensive, we play a lot of clips and stuff like that, so it could be good to see the video. But they're doing an audio thing, and maybe when we pick up doing a little bit more interviews, which is in the pipeline here, it's just a couple of more things I need to settle, and then we're gonna do regular interviews on Tuesdays and Thursdays. That could be fun to patch in, maybe audio, just like you know, live audio through Telegram. But definitely when they do video, that's going to be very interesting to see. Good stuff. Anyway, good to see you all. Thanks so much for joining us. Saw a couple of you over on Entropy already. Devil Charlie, I saw over on entropystream.live/RedIceTV and says, I'm thinking Red Ice needs to become a media empire, connecting the separate nodes of nationalists. You guys deserve Zuck/Musk money. You know what? I think if we can persevere the bump that is, or the squeeze, I guess is a better term, the squeeze that I think inevitably is coming. It's already here. We're feeling it because we can't operate our business as normal, not only censorship, but financial sabotage and stuff like that, of course, which limits us and sets us back significantly. We would obviously, if we were unfettered, so to speak, if we could compete on an equal playing field as many of these other, you know, outlets and, you know, left-wing media outlets and stuff like that, we'd be much bigger now than we currently are. And I think it's going to get even tougher, I think it's going to get for some time. But then after that point, if we can go through that, if we can survive that, and we can do that with you guys' help, of course, I think things like that are going to start happening because people are going to be, they're going to see where this is going. And I think more and more people are going to come to our side. And I think people with means, resources, money, people are concerned. People are concerned for the future of their kids, etc. Are going to understand that we need a way of waking up more people, spreading accurate information, talking truthfully about what is that's happening, and breaking down all the lies, all the bullshit in the mainstream media and stuff like that. So that's what I think, Devil Charlie. But thank you, I appreciate it. I wish we were like the Young Turks or Vice or something and could raise millions of dollars by venture capitalists and things like that. But who knows? Maybe one day when we have some more based, you know, wealthy people, we can go that route. I'm kind of feeling that we will if we can survive the squeeze. But anyway, so that's that. If you do want to join us, by the way, over on Entropy Stream, that is simply, let me pull that up, entropystream.live/RedIceTV. We also keep an eye on Odyssey. Odyssey.com at Red Ice TV. It's going to be one of those days today, huh? And then, of course, also on Trovo. That's simply trovo.live/RedIce. Thank you to everyone over there. I see some spells being cast over there. Thank you, boys and girls. Appreciate that. Brad C. with a cash bang. Thank you. Sarah B. with a stay safe spell. Another one of those from William Shear. Pyrrhus, 777 with an on fire spell. Actually, 10 of those. Thank you, Pyrrhus. Appreciate that. Karvkaki with a rose and a hype and also a winner, or what I like to call a dancing chicken. Thank you, sir. Per H with a hype, or three of those, actually. Thank you. Per also with four roses, I think it is. Yes, thank you. Stay safe spell from William Shear as well. Thank you, guys. We appreciate it. And a couple more from Dan Snott and Nordic Iron. Thank you, boys and girls. Appreciate that. I'll keep an eye on that throughout the show as well. But yeah, otherwise, I mean, it's we have a lot to talk about. The madness that's happening. I have a segment a little bit later on the complete chaos in Ceuta, Spain, the city enclave, the little city state in the in, I think it's proximity to Morocco, so North Africa. We'll look at some of the footage coming out of there, which is absolutely crazy. It was actually over the weekend, since we did do a weekend warrior, we were away over the weekend, and you should take Mondays off. Yesterday, I was working on a video about that and putting a little bit of that in perspective compared to some of the situations that we've seen, for example, in Scotland, what was it called again? Kenmure Street, I think you call it, right? Where these boomers lay down in front of the police patrol cars. They're going to deport two illegal immigrants, and the whole Glasgow grind to a halt, basically, because they wanted to stop it. It's kind of interesting, you know, dynamic to talk about. So I might go into some. I wanted to save it for the video I was working on for RedIceMembers.com. But I might go into some of that later. We'll see. Depends on how things pan out. Also, over on Entropy Stream, we have Cuckfree Zone. Hope you're having a good week, sir. Thank you, Cuckfree Zone. Appreciate it. Absolutely, so far, so good. It was actually good to take a little time off for once. Kind of need it. When you bathe in the insanity as much as we do, it's always nice to just at least take a couple of days and spend with the family. But all right, so let's see where we should begin. Actually, let me do a couple of these on Odyssey real quick here, too. Tash with a 5 library token donation. Thank you, sir. I don't think there's a message attached to that. I appreciate it. One from Ms. Noseberg. Thank you, Ms. Noseberg. Good to see you. A couple of rockets or to the moon, I guess. We'll talk about the Bitcoin price in a moment, too. But 5 from Ms. Noseberg. Thank you, sir. Always good to see you. Okay, so what do we have? Why don't we talk about the just a little bit on the... on the situation in Israel, Palestine, Judea. Maybe we should call it Neanderthal land. It depends on how far back you want to go. But so a very sad situation for some of the CNN journalists. They were disrespected by Israeli police / military. Kind of looks like military more, but I think it's technically it's still police. It's like militarized police there in Israel. But they were pushing around. Some news correspondents, Ben CNN, what's his full name again? Ben Weidman. So let's take a look at that. Very sad situation here.
Ready.
This is for CNN.
We must go to the back.
You're covering this situation.
See, everyone should respect the journalists at all times, huh? So, some people say, what the fuck? I love the Israeli police now. I wouldn't go that far, but you know what I mean. Yeah, Mark Stone here says, today I walked past a policeman. I smiled and said, hello. Fuck off, he said. There you go, yeah. Yeah, so we have seen a little bit of it. I mean, the press is vehemently pro-Zionist. I mean, it's just a fact, right? But then you've seen a little bit more kind of let in on the other side, which is, I think, a reflection of the also demographic shifts and changes that we're seeing. We saw a mass protest for a pro-Palestinian protest, not as much as an anti-Israeli one, but a pro-Palestinian march in Detroit, Michigan, where there were, I don't know, estimated 5,000 people. I should have pulled some of that footage in, but... I don't know if some of these groups from Hayas to Paideia to Israel and all these groups are knowing what they're doing here when they're changing the helping to change the demographic makeup of many Western countries. This also happened, of course, not a big surprise. Israel knowingly bombed an AP office in Gaza. This was from Israel Palestine News. I think that's Alison Weirs. Kind of one of our news outlets. She was running that If Americans Knew, really good stuff. Tried to get her on the show once, but she freaked out when she read bad things about us in the press, because who knew that they lie about people who, you know, try to expose the truth. But I guess it was, you know, whatever. But yeah, so an Israeli airstrike destroyed a high-rise building in Gaza City that housed offices of the Associated Press and other media outlets Saturday. So that kind of happened over the weekend while we were gone. There was some video of that, too. We showed some of that in some of our compilations, but not a big surprise. Don't want to spend too much time on the situation in Israel, frankly. We are going to continue in doing a follow-up, I think a dedicated show on that specifically. But one quick mention, too, regarding our greatest allies, right? I think you can apply that term, you know, in two different directions right now. Of course, the neocons, the GOP types, the cucks in the U.S. and so forth have always referred to Israel as our greatest ally, right? But it's interesting to see the pro Palestinian faction, and again, I'm making a difference here between an anti-Israeli allegiance as opposed to a pro-Palestinian one. There is a difference, right? There is a third way, and aligning with the people who are pro-Palestinian, if you believe that white people should have rights as well, we should have control over the territories that our forebears built. We should let our children grow up in countries where we continue to be an absolute majority. Things like that. They will never side with you, right? These are Palestinian nationalists. So they're these left-wing anti-Zionists are hardcore Palestinian nationalists, but they will never bestow you, who might be, so whether you call yourself a white nationalist or not, that's what they're going to call you, or even a white supremacist, obviously, right? But they will never bestow that right upon you. They're seeing what's happening in Israel as an extension to white supremacy, and this tweet kind of showed that too, from Black Lives Matter, and then the BDS movement responded, right? BLM, which is a, you know, Marxist organization, commies, anti-white commies. They said on Twitter, Black Lives Matter stands in solidarity with Palestinians. We are a movement committed to ending settler colonialism in all forms and will continue to advocate for Palestinian liberation. Always have and always will be. Hashtag Free Palestine. It's like, okay, that's cool. That's based, right? That's great. So that's fine. But the settler colonialism can, of course, and we'll look at that later when we talk about Spain and what's happening there. And if you look at what's happening with the demographic replacement in many Western countries, you're having a colonialism there as well, but they would never extend our, they will never grant us that right or that to be charitable enough to recognize that, yeah, what's happening in the West is also something that we can see parallels of that's happening in the Middle East. They're taking, there's a couple of different paths that they're taking. One has maybe more resources for now at their disposal, but they will quickly kind of, you know, become the same, basically, right? But anyway, the BDS movement responded here. Thank you for your solidarity. From Ferguson to Palestine, our struggles against racism, white supremacy, and for a just world are united. So not a word, as the tweeter here points out. It's buzzwords about colonialism, white supremacy, and racism, but not a single word about Jews, right? Which you think would be kind of an important distinction, a difference here, right? That they would mention that it's not white supremacist in Israel. They don't see themselves as white. That's been declared many times. Maybe that when there's convenience, that there is an assertion that they're fellow whites, but not whites, right? And we've showed many articles underlining this too. We're against the struggles of white people and all that kind of stuff, right? But so that's what you're going to get, and that's what's so kind of annoying about this too, right? That they will just never recognize that you have the same level of kind of colonialism taking place, right? Not this exactly the same, but parallels are definitely there. So those people who think that the pro-Palestinian movement is our greatest ally here are vehemently mistaken. And there's a third way out of this. You can be anti-Israel, but you don't have to be pro-Palestine. There's a difference, I think. Again, in Palestine, like in where it's happening in the Middle East, I'm pro-Palestine, right? But as we've talked about many times now, many of the Middle Easterners and North Africans and so forth, and even Sub-Saharan Africans that come to European countries are bringing with them conditions which, of course, making our lives much more harder. They're occupying places in our lands. They're taking spaces, ultimately, from us, entire areas. So I can just think of my own, reference to Sweden and how we grew up and what's happening, how things have changed, right? These people are colonizing. They're coming to countries like Sweden and taking place. They're colonizing. They're taking a seat at the table. They're taking citizenships. They're there to benefit from the welfare system, the generous welfare system that we've had for such a long time and things like this, right? So there is that is a colon. It's a neo-colonization, but it's basically also done, of course, I understand, with the aid of our elites and those who rule over us, those who want to replace us, right? But there's no recognition, this is what I'm trying to get at, from the other side to say, you know what, I see what's happening in your countries as well, and we shouldn't be these pawns that the elite wants us to be, to go to your countries to occupy or to colonize you kind of thing, but that will never be there. So, you know, just to mention that. Take this, for example, right? There was a video where I saw, I'll play it in a moment here, but I saw more outrage about this video and the contents in the video than I did about the decades now that we've had of these rape gangs being exposed, especially in the UK, but it's happening, you know, all over. So look at this here, and there's some strong language here, so keep that in mind here. But this is the clip from Twitter here. Look at this.
Stop the movement, stop all of us, stop the mothers, stop the daughters, and shoot the poor policemen. Shut them up, rape the daughters. If we have to send a message like that, free.
So there you go. So they're saying something, which is kind of interesting. So the outrage is about regarding them saying something, but then when they actually do something at what they're saying, then I've seen less outrage. You know, take the situation in Scotland, for example, in Glasgow, the Kenmure Street situation I talked about, right, where the whole street is out and protesting. There's two illegal immigrants. They're going to be deported. And, of course, the whole apparatus, the police, the justice system in Scotland, of course, ends up siding with mob rule, which is basically to ignore the rules, forget about the laws. We're going to let these people stay, even though it's literally breaking the law, right? But let me show you some of the footage from there. Check this out here. So this is when these two people are released, right, after they've blocked the deportation vehicles at the left. Here's more, another angle. So this is what's happening, and then they're opening the van. They're like celebrities. It was like one Indian guy, and I think one Pakistani guy, kind of thing, right? And they're coming out like this en masse to pictures. In a way, this is a symbolic thing. I get it. It's just two people. It's, you know, it's not that bad. But it's the point, right? It's the point that it's like these people are they're dying for their replacements to be there to occupy a seat at the table, right? And then at the same time. You see outrage regarding that they're going to be deported, but if we for a moment go over to an article that was released here, I think it was 2020, right? Police Scotland took down large-scale asylum seeker grooming gang in Glasgow, so the same city where this took place, but kept it secret. Cops took down a huge asylum seeker grooming gang in Glasgow, but kept it secret. The gang preyed on vulnerable young girls in the city and had at least 44 victims, including a core group of six youngsters who were all known to each other. I believe one may have been abused by 28 men with another linked to 23. So put these kinds of things in perspective to when you see they come out for this. To get these people to stay, which is part of the makeup of these gangs that we're talking about, right? Does that mean literally that these two were part of that? No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying as a symbolic way that they come out for this. They're dying for the replay. These are superstars here. They're celebrities. These guys for just having to be just because they were illegal, basically, and they want them to stay, right? And then there's no, as far as I know, I've searched, I looked for it. There's no outrage about that. There's no protest, no mass protest to defend the young girls that were abused by these people, by these strangers that have been let in to their country by the Scottish people. I mean, you could argue by the leadership, yes, but on some level we tolerate it, right? We say yes to it by not doing anything against it, essentially, right? So do you see the difference here too? Going back to the clip out of London, there, Tubbs. So this is actually happening to our people, right? But there's more outrage when someone at a pro-Palestinian rally says that they're going to do this to to Israelis or Jews in Israel. This is like, and we're out there shearing on when we're allowing these people to stay. Kind of thing. It's my point is, it's effed up, right? It's completely overboard, right? All right. Okay. So let me switch to something a little different here. Again, I was going to make a whole video about this, and it ties into the Ceuta situation too, by the way. Ceuta, I think, Spain. The same thing that's happening there, right? Let me close a couple of windows here real quick, and let's take a look at. Oh, this was kind of interesting. That's right. Biden is still about Israel stuff, right? But he talks in one clip here about how he wants to run. I guess more attacks on the journalists. Come to think of it, here he wants to run over the reporter because he's asking him about the situation in Israel. Listen to this here.
How's it drive?
Now, I don't know if it's a stopwatch, but I think if we're going 0 to 60 in about 4.4?
Right. 4.4. Well, we haven't released the
press. Oh, okay. I should be quiet.
Mr. President, how fast were you going?
Well, okay, I'm just going to step on it. I'll come off at 80 miles an hour. You'll see what it is, okay? Ready?
Mr. President, can I ask you a quick question on Israel before you drive away?
No, you can't. Not unless you get in front of the car as I step on it. I'm not teasing. Okay, here we go. Ready?
Very bizarre. This guy's very bizarre, right? Very strange. Some people said this is self-driving. It's what an ugly pattern on there. I'm not sure what this is. But all right, there you go. But yeah, so that's fine. He can remember when Trump, spoke about journalists in this way. Was there any comparison in the situation, right? Like, no. He can talk about driving them over, but he's just joking. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Come on, man. All right. Let me see here. Where else do we need to go? Oh, this was kind of an interesting story too. Should we do actually Bitcoin first? That's right. My order is a bit screwed up here. Let me do this first on the Bitcoin. Bitcoin right now at low prices. Get on in. So we had people call a flash crash, whatever. There's a number of reasons for this. This in the clip is one of the reasons we think is behind the Bitcoin dip. But of course, you always have to buy the dip and you have to hold out, right? If you haven't lost anything until you sell. Anyway, check out this clip here regarding China that are playing around a little bit here.
A barrage of bad news continues to batter Bitcoin. China on Tuesday banned its financial institutions and payment companies from offering any services involving Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, including registrations, trading, clearing, and settlement. Three Chinese industry bodies, the National Internet Finance Association of China, the China Banking Association, and the Payment and Clearing Association of China, said virtual currencies, quote, are not supported by real value, and railed against what they called speculative trading that is, quote, disrupting the normal economic and financial order. China has already banned crypto exchanges and initial coin offerings, but Chinese buyers can still get their hands on Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. Nevertheless, the statement was another drag on Bitcoin, which has lost about one-third of its value since hitting a high just under $65,000 in mid-April. Selling picked up pace last week when Elon Musk said Tesla would no longer accept Bitcoin as payment, citing the large energy use needed to mine Bitcoin.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Other cryptos like Ethereum have seen their value decline as well, but not as much as Bitcoin. Bitcoin's lead as the world's biggest cryptocurrency has diminished with its share of the crypto market.
Hey, nice pan in there by Reuters.
But not as much as Bitcoin. Bitcoin's lead as the world's biggest cryptocurrency has diminished with its share of the crypto market, dropping to 45% from 70% earlier this year, according to U.S. researcher Coinmetrics. As investors look for bigger returns from other so-called altcoins like Ethereum, Doge, and a number of other lesser-known cryptos.
All right. So anyway, so China's getting involved in that game. That's probably part of why we saw, the dip kind of thing. So I think it might go lower still. I think you could, if you want to regain some positions, or if you sold other, you know, earlier because you thought it was high when it was getting up to 30 or something, right? Might want to consider jumping in, but it could even go lower, I think. I think it's a clear sign that they're also they want to try to control this, they want to try to regulate it, they want to try to drive people out of it in order to get more stakes, so that the elites will get even more positions in Bitcoin, basically. As usual, HODL. There's no other to do. I would go in, and you have to think of it when you look at, you know, CoinMarketCap or CoinGecko, whatever you use to check you know your price. That when it's you know minus 15%, that's you know, or down 15%, that's 15% off. That's you know, that's what we want to buy, and buy and HODL. We'll see what happens, of course, in the long term. But I think the ride for it is not over. I think they want to try to control it. I just don't think it's going to be possible. They're going to try to shift over to other types of, you know, currencies and, you know, some of the great reset coins such as Chainlink and maybe even Ripple and some of this. We'll see what happens. But this was kind of interesting too regarding the Bitcoin situation. BlockFi was trending on Twitter. I think it was yesterday or maybe the day before. Apparently they had done a very generous payout. And they had paid their customers in BTC as opposed to USD. So here's we can see a screenshot of someone who got 701 BTC. Whoops, BlockFi extended paid out promo rewards in BTC rather than USD stablecoin. So 45,000 times more dollars or money than they were supposed to. And I don't see anyone talking about it. No news articles, no discussions, but the BlockFi sub is currently a disaster zone with people being locked out of withdrawing and BlockFi sending out emails threatening to sue individuals. Withdrawals were limited to 100 BTC, which is pretty life-changing at 4.5 million. So I'm curious how many people yold. and there's a more follow-up here. To falsely accused by BlockFi of crime and fraudulent withdrawal. So they try to kind of, you know, go after people basically if they want to try to withdraw it. But, you know, there's no reversing some of this stuff, right? So you gotta pay attention, know what you're doing. Again, I'm not sure how much of the BlockFi thing is part of the dip in price or anything like that. I don't think it is, but an interesting tidbit. Okay, this story is interesting. You know, let's go back to talking about Sweden Antifa here. Christian Assar is a kind of a activist. I'm not sure if he's ASF associated, Alternative for Sweden. I don't think he might be. I think he would have had it in his Twitter handle if he was. So last autumn, Antifa made several home visits to Christian at his place, I think in Gothenburg. And so he was kind of prepared. He knew that they were coming back. So here's some surveillance footage. I'm not sure if it's his surveillance footage or another neighbor's camera or something like that. But they were visiting him again, and he actually ended up chasing them away with a baseball bat in his underwear late at night. And the reason why some of the footage had not been released by Cristiano till now. Because the police were doing investigation. Apparently, it's related to the fact that there's a number of this network of Antifa activists in Gothenburg is going to have a lot of their details released on a Swedish website called Exakt24 or Exakt24. I saw a post from Dan Eriksson from the Free Sweden earlier today on Telegram. He mentioned this too. But anyway, check out. Let me see, where are we? Check out the clip here in terms of what's happened. Just a shorter clip. I don't think there's any audio in it, but look at what happened here. It's always nice to get a home visit, right, from good old, an international terrorist network that have operators in every, in virtually every Western country, right? Is there audio? No, I don't think there's any audio. A little bit, actually. They're spraying something, I think. Nice. There we go. Let's take the last part again. Also, yeah, so they walk up, they're spraying something, probably like, you Nazi pig or something. But yeah, in one-man army, in his underwear. Really based, Christian. All right, here we go. One more time. And I can't quite hear what he's saying. He says something, come on, or something like that, right? He says, I'm not sure you've got any of them, but good stuff. Was getting some traction on Twitter as well. Now, he spoke about the situation a bit. Here's the guy in question. I'll have to translate that later. It's kind of hard to do on the fly sometimes. But yeah, I'll follow up on that. Maybe we should have him on the show with Don Erickson or something like that, talk about it. But anyway, so this is leading to, and I think he mentioned this. Let me see here. Yeah, that's right. The first part of the big revealing by the leftist, this extremist terror network in Gothenburg, and the Antifa chapter in Gothenburg, is going to be revealed, the information about many of the members and stuff like that, tomorrow at 4 o'clock Swedish time. So to keep an eye on Exakt 24, this is their Twitter handle right here, for more on the expose on that. So that's some good stuff, good news. So good job on Christian for that. All right. Let me just check here. We didn't miss any on Entropy. Yes, we did. Two from Sonata for Violin. Come on, man. Reference to Biden. Thank you. And also from also one saying Shamong Mang. Is that something new? I'm not sure. I'll follow that one. Thank you, Sonata. I appreciate that. Very, very kind of you. Saw some stuff on Trovo as well. Per with a dancing chicken or winner. Thank you for that. Let me do some of the big ones at least here, so we don't miss on those. On fire, 10 on fire spells from Stone Ox. Thank you. Star Pilot, also an on fire spell, stay safe spell from Brad C. 109 with a stay safe spell as well. I try to keep in kind of an eye on that too. Is there any, I want to make sure I didn't miss any colorful chats. That's the big one on Trovo. Sometimes I do miss him if I don't keep an eye on it continuously. Okay. So let me pull up my notes here again. Bitcoin, we did that. We talked about BlockFi. Another interesting thing, rather, out of the Nordic countries while we're there is this one. Here's a story from Yahoo News about how the Nordic and Baltic countries have kind of gone together to talk about the human rights violation of the Uyghurs in China's Xinjiang province, assumed. Denmark, Estonia, Finland, Iceland, Latvia, Lithuania, Norway, and Sweden have issued a joint statement expressing grave concern at the human rights situation of Uyghurs and other Turkic Muslim minorities in China's Xinjiang province. The statement by these Nordic and Baltic countries, which was delivered by Martin Bille Hermann, permanent representative of Denmark to the UN on Wednesday, said, "We are gravely concerned about the information presented in reports and statements on the human rights situation in the Xinjiang Uyghur Autonomous Region. The countries also expressed concern about the reported existence of a large network of so-called political re-education camps, where a very high number of people are held in long-term arbitrary detention." Now, keep in mind why this is so important as well is because you have a very willing left-wing faction in the West, I should say, and I was going to say the U.S., but I'm thinking of Silicon Valley. I'm thinking of all these big companies that are, you know, cooperating with China. They're working with China. They're setting up offices in China. They have no problem facilitating them while they doing these kinds of things, while at the same time they ban and limit and silence and shutter, you know, conservative organizations, nationalistic organizations, patriotic activists and things like this, right? And this is why it's important, so important to point out this intense hypocrisy, right? That there's virtually, even in the press, there is some, and, you know, BBC have done some reports on it and stuff like that, but it's never been the outrage it would be if something comparable was being done in a Western country. You know that. In fact, even China themselves deflect from these kinds of things. Remember, we played this clip a while ago. This is, I think it was it China that was handed the, like being the chair of the Human Rights Council or something like that? Check out this clip where he's talking. They're constantly deflecting. And like, well, what about the white supremacy in the United States? Look at this clip here. You might remember it from a past show. Check this out.
Madam President, the Chinese delegation wishes to recommend to the U.S. One, root out the systematic racism, address widespread police brutality and combat discrimination against African and Asian Americans. Second, urge politicians to respect people's rights to life and health and stop politicizing and stigmatizing COVID-19 pandemic. Three, take holistic measures to eliminate rich-poor polarization and social inequality. Four, combat the increasingly severe religious intolerance and xenophobic violence. Five, stop incarcerating migrants, including migrant children, and guarantee the rights of migrants. Six,
holy
address
shit.
Proliferation of guns and guarantee people's right to life. Seven, coercive unilateral measures, and aid stop torture in opposite matter and halt military intervention in other countries and stop killing civilians. Nine, stop interfering for political reasons in other countries' internal affairs under the pretext of human rights. Thank you, Madam President.
That translation is gold too in and of itself, but they have no room to talk, right? It's absolutely disgusting in terms of what they're doing. Nor does, you know, Israel when it comes to how they're like dropping white phosphorus on the Palestinians or shit like that, right? And yet these are the countries that are like, you know, waving their fingers at America or even Europe when they push back. And again, we'll get to the Spain situation later too. There's outrage around the world because they're just not opening their borders and let everybody in that wants to come to Europe or, you know, Spain in this regard, right? Which again is a ticket into the rest of Europe, basically, because of the EU, the free movement of goods and people in the EU. But yeah, so keep that in mind when you hear bullshit like that from China. This one, real quick mention here too. This is other things that China is involved in. Chicago customs officers find 685,000 in fake cash shipped from China. You know, China's in a situation where they're buying up, you know, U.S. debt and things like that to basically keep it afloat. And they could pull the rug, I think, from under the U.S. at any point. There's some other things happening at the same time, of course, which makes the, you know, the reason why they've bought debt is because they need kind of the U.S. economy afloat to be able to continue to make money on the U.S. as well at the same time, right? But you'll see stuff like this. Just a quick mention, but this is the bullshit that China is involved in. Now, let me see. Let me go to the Financial Times one. This was giving me a subscription issue, and I see that the archive is still not loaded. Let me see if I can load that real quick. I was trying to pull it up on archive. Let me try up here again. It was regarding going back to Denmark, because they were one of the countries involved in the in the country speaking up against China. Let me see if I can find it. Oh, it was, doesn't seem like that's been working. That's too bad, because Financial Times has given me a bunch of bullshit that want me to log in. Let me see. Let me do this real quick here. I thought that would load while we looked at that. Let me try to open it in a private window, see if that works. 1 second, guys. Let me see here. Okay, let's see if we can get the Financial Times to... Nope, sorry. They want me to log in or to sign up. I'm not going to do that. Anyway, it was about Denmark. Basically, they're readying getting back to Norway. They're on the brink of returning to pre-COVID levels. Now, apparently, the article went into the fact that like Denmark has done away with let me see if I can find another one real quick here. They've done away with the COVID passport. Remember, we had these massive protests in Denmark. Let me see here. Pre-COVID, let me see if I can find anything on that real quick. They had massive protests. Yeah, it's the Financial Times one coming up over and over again. Let me see. Okay, now I can pull it up. That's interesting. Okay, well, whatever. Here it is done. Let me pull it in real quick. Yeah, Denmark on brink of returning to pre-COVID normality. Only nightclubs to remain closed as country plans to phase out its coronavirus passport, right? Phase out its coronavirus passport. Interesting. I have no idea they were going in this direction. But again, if the massive protest and this people speaking up and saying no to it, I'm not sure where they are on the you know, they were for a while, they were talking about mandatory vaccinations. The EU have been talking about it and stuff like that too. But it looks like they're spearheading, like getting out of this insanity, basically. So Denmark will reopen almost completely on Friday, and will phase out use of its domestic coronavirus passport and even face masks over the summer, as it aims to be one of the first European countries to finally return fully to normal from the COVID-19 pandemic. Denmark's political parties agreed on Tuesday that public sector workplaces, universities, sports and music clubs, zoos, theme parks and saunas would open up again from Friday. Only nightclubs will remain closed, according to one opposition leader. Not sure why that is then. Countries across the EU have been gradually lifting coronavirus restrictions this week in the hope that it will accelerate, hope that accelerating vaccine programs will allow a speedier return to normal life. Now, the normal life, they're using this, of course, the vaccine as the, not as the carrot, but as the stick, right? In a way, or saying that you're not going to be able to go to back to normal if you don't vaccinate, basically, right? We have a lot of people folding to that as well, which is kind of interesting. But it looks like Denmark is taking an interesting path out of this, which I'm very glad to see. So we'll keep a close eye on that and see how it goes. We have this new, and I have a story from the UK about this too, this new strain from India conveniently showing up right now too. And so you know that they're going to be pushing, something here soon. They're never going to let this go. They're never going to let this up, right? That's what I think. But anyway, something a little bit different here. While we move through some of the COVID stuff, more cringe from de Blasio. We played, remember the last Flashback Friday show, we played him talking about his fries. You got to check out that clip if you missed it. It's disgusting. He's sitting there eating a burger and a fries, and like, you get free fries if you, a side of fries with your vaccine, basically. Here he is talking about getting Mets tickets while he was dressing up. Check this out here.
The biggest victory for the Nets is yet to come. The Nets are stepping up for Brooklyn, for the whole city of New York. The Nets are now going to be joining the battle against COVID with a mobile vaccination site right outside Barclays Center. This is going to be...
I'm sorry, the Nets? Oh, I thought it was the Mets. Oh, okay, this is... all right, let's see. Tells you how much I know about the American sports ball. I guess the Nets is the basketball team then?
Another
big difference.
Extraordinary effort to get people vaccinated, make everyone safe. Now, here's the deal. Go there, get vaccinated, enter a lottery for playoff tickets.
Oh my God! Oh my God!
Pretty much.
No! Did we show?
So you're going to have multiple chances to win playoff tickets when you get vaccinated at that site. Mm-hmm. But wait, there's more.
But I'm not done yet.
The Nets and the whole NBA, to their great credit, are focused on social justice.
Please clap.
Focus on social justice. Here's a reminder, the fries, check this out.
Free fries when you get vaccinated? I got vaccinated. You're saying I could get this? The delicious fries. Wait a minute. But there's also a burger element to this. Let me check with Bill Neidhart. Is it too early in the day to eat a burger?
No.
This could be breakfast.
Okay. Of course, he has to ask too.
I want you to look at this and think about, again, some people love hamburgers, some don't. Really want to respect all ways of life.
Of course,
if
naturally.
If this is appealing to you, just think of this when you think of vaccination. Vaccination.
Fantastic.
I'm getting a very good feeling about vaccination right this moment.
Like, he knows it's fake too. He obviously has that, like, that demeanor, right? Yeah, this was a good reference in terms of what we're seeing happening right now. Things being offered to take the jab, right? Free donuts, burgers, French fries, I haven't seen the beer, but I don't doubt it, right? You get free beer, lottery tickets, $1 million. I think what a lot of people would like to see is maybe, how about some peer-reviewed long-term studies before we actually, you know, fall into this trap, whatever it is. You know, people say, well, it could be nothing. Yeah, it could be nothing, but you want to take, I mean, obviously, clearly, people are dying. We're seeing a lot of weird effects from the vaccine, so that alone should just kind of scare you away, to be honest. But the fact that we can't ask questions, we can't ask for them to produce documentation, proper documentation that it's safe and effective, long-term studies and stuff like that. but just free shit. It's like, I wonder who is this working on in a way, right? Who's signing up for this and saying, yeah, that free burger, I'll get that kind of thing, right? All right, over on Entropy, Tame Damon, thank you for that very much. Cheers, brother. Nice work. Thank you so much for the support. Appreciate it. Good to see you here. Lycan Warrior says, NBA players take sponsorship deals from Chinese sneaker companies that use slave labor in their cotton fields. The irony and hypocrisy of it all. That's right. Yeah, I remember that. Remember that a while ago. And they were, what was it? They were, yeah, they were totally fine bowing down to like some wishes of the Chinese or something, some of the NBA players. And then they couldn't, you know, they basically stand for like, you know, the Chinese anthem, but with the American one, they don't and stuff like that. It's unbelievable. These spoiled BLM brats in the NBA and some of these sports ball leagues. Thank you, Lycan. Sonata for Violent. Okay, free beer. There you go. Yep, gotta go get mine. It's absolutely amazing. This as well from the New York Times archived version here. They're vaccinated and keeping their masks on, maybe forever. That's right, maybe forever. Pretty incredible stuff here. Face coverings have been a political flashpoint for more than a year, but now the backlash is directed at people who don't plan to take them off. Oh, the backlash against those who don't take them off. The backlash has been against those who think it's not only idiotic to wear them because it doesn't work, but also the fact that the studies are being done that you're actually getting sick by wearing a mask, by limiting your oxygen intake, getting more microplastics into your system, breathing it in. There's plenty of studies showing that it's actually detrimental to you. Now, the way that they've snuck around this, which I saw Fauci do recently, and I don't think they knew that they would take this path, but they were trying to say the reason why we're not, you know, the reason why we are not seeing colds is because they've moved all those cases over to into the COVID bracket and say, oh, the cold doesn't exist anymore, it's COVID. But then they did a reconstruction. They reconstructed the narrative afterwards and they said, well, see, there hasn't been any cold because the measures that we've taken are effective and they work, right? So this is what they've done. But yeah, so the chances are, even those now who, and I've seen tweets about this that were going around, it's the right thing to do. We can stop the cold from spreading. We have to do this permanently. Never the masks on some of these people are never going to get off, come off, right? And those who remain unvaccinated, who are not convinced, who feel that this is not safe, it's too risky, it's not worth it, this is an experiment, you shouldn't take it, they're going to be coerced and threatened, where they're basically going to say, you have to wear a mask for the rest of your life, essentially, if you're not going to take the vaccine. But there's more than that, right? There's actual threats now. Check this clip out from Biden here, talking about how there's going to be a price to pay. Listen to this.
Flare-ups could occur, but if the unvaccinated get vaccinated, they will protect themselves and other unvaccinated people around them. If they do not, states with low vaccination rates may see those rates go up, may see this progress reversed. Ultimately, those who are not vaccinated will end up paying the price. Yeah. The vaccinated will continue to be protected against severe illnesses, but others may not be if you're not vaccinated. But given that the vaccination is convenient and free.
Yeah, so they will pay a price. Right, I think we all know. I think we all know what that means when he says that. Right, Danny Boy over on Entropy Stream says, "Keep up the good fight. May our Lord reward y'all." Thank you, Danny. Very kind of you. Thank you so much for the super chats and for the thoughts and the prayers. I guess we do appreciate that. Yeah, check out this one. Here's Greg Johnson. He said on Twitter, and I know that there's a large faction of people on the right who they will never look at a conspiracy theory, especially when it's been classified as such. They think it's dumb and silly and all that kind of stuff. But this is just very surprising. I don't know if it's surprising, but anyway, he can think whatever he wants about this. But look at this: we can't overthrow the current system if we completely marginalize ourselves with it. If we can't travel, for instance, so get vaccinated and get back in the game. Marginalizing ourselves because of a principled stand on COVID is just another form of right-wing self-sabotage. Now, if you don't think that this is an issue, right? If you don't think that there is a risk, or if you're not aware of the risk, if you're not interested in looking at that because you think it's a conspiracy theory, in a way, I can understand why you would take a position like that. But for those of us who have bothered to take it, it would be like, this is insane, because you could limit yourself in ways that are completely unknowable due to the fact that we don't know what is going to happen. There is no long-term studies. There's no peer-reviewed stuff. The coercion alone, the people lining up telling you you have to take it are the very same people that want to replace us in our countries. How in the world should we assume that these people have our best interests at heart? They obviously don't, right? This is control mechanism. So it's kind of one of these comply so that we can fight back kind of stances, which is just completely contradictory and illogical. And I know that some of us will draw the line at a different place in the sand, so to speak. But here's where I draw the line. It's like, I'm not going to play Russian roulette with my own life or my family's life or my kid's life. It's just not going to happen, because that's where it is. There's plenty of people dying. We've documented every other show. We're documenting this, right? So that's insane. What I'm saying to this is, you should do plenty of research on the long-term study so that you make the right decision before you do anything like this. And the fact that we don't have them is a telltale sign enough that you then shouldn't take it. Like, if you can, and even if you can have these studies and stuff like that, in many regards, these pharmaceutical companies are the ones that are paying for them anyway. You have to have an understanding that these people are, they are corrupt. They hate us. They want us dead. They want to make money on us on our way out as we suffer. I mean, it's, you're not going to get that at every turn by every person that works in every company that are involved in this. Obviously, no one is trying to simplify it in those terms. But there's a heck of a lot of people up top that are using this gay op as a way to take control of society. So I don't think bowing down to it and submitting to it is the answer. I would go the other way. I'd think attaching nationalistic-minded sentiments along with some of the freedom-oriented protests that we've seen in the West is the correct way forward. Use it as a way to try to overthrow the system, not comply with it, right? Try to, if you're interest is to overthrow the system, you should align with the people that are exposing it the most right now. And those are pointing out that it's like it's using false information against us. It's using coercion. It's using propaganda. It's unlawful in the sense that it's locked us down. It's never happened before in history. Attach the activism to that and try to utilize some of that energy that exists now, especially in European countries. I mean, we've seen a lot of protests and stuff like that. So anyway, so I wouldn't take it, but whatever. I mean, if you want to do it, I don't fucking care. Go ahead. Okay. So here's another one regarding the. I want to show that first. The World Economic Forum. See, this is the other thing. The comply issue here. Like, look at this. The threats. Right. Here's more from the World Economic Forum. Get your COVID-19 jab, or you could face consequences from your employer. They tweeted out here. This is I think a couple of days ago now. Company policies for employees regarding COVID-19 vaccinations. And did you hear too, by the way, there was like 50% of people in the CDC were unwilling to take it. It was like there's nurses that won't take it. There's like an endless slew of people inside of the system. You know, the system that's telling you that you have to take it, you should take it. They try to coerce you and threaten you and force you to do it. Then the managerial class inside of that system even refuse, like 50% in some cases, refuse to take it, right? Why the hell should we, right? World Economic Forum cancels annual meeting after moving it to Singapore. Interesting, right? You guys see this? So they're packing up, I guess, after initially rescheduling the forum from May to late summer months. The World Economic Forum has decided to cancel its annual gatherings. Oh, so sad. Of powerhouses in the worlds of markets, business, and politics, and I'd add banking to that, world banking, which is usually held in Davos, Switzerland, but have been moved to Singapore in the face of the coronavirus. According to Bloomberg, back in February, the World Economic Forum announced that it would delay the week-long event until August, hoping that it would be enough time. But, and here it is, the story we mentioned earlier, as India's COVID-19 outbreak continues to spill across Asia, while a mutant strain first identified in India has finally been traced to the U.S. So this, like, we're opening up, it's done, the vaccine, sorry, it was, you need to, here's another shot, and two more, and in fact, we need three more, and we need them annually now. And, you know, we got to be able to hang those magnets on your arms, am I right? Let me play this. Some cases, you don't need coercion. You don't need propaganda. People are, they love this prospect of the vaccine. And they also have, they're making it their job to get you to sign up. Check out this. This is good stuff. TikTok is a psychological operation. This will prove it. Look at this.
It's vaccination day. It's vaccination day. Today I get my COVID jab, and I'm feeling really fab. For months I have been waiting for this day. When can I get my second shot? And will it hurt or will it not? Oh, I think I am gonna be okay. It's just a small needle, right? And for the people who don't want it and still refuse to take, well, thanks to you, now I don't have to wait. Cause for the first time in forever, I might get to kiss a girl.
It's been a long time.
When I get my ass.
Are you sure you want to kiss a girl? Hombre, is that what, is that where you're going? Are you swinging that direction,
AstraZeneca, sir? I'm gonna tell the whole damn world. Guys, I'm vaccinated! And I know I'm acting crazy, but I mean, I've like waited for a year. And for the first time in forever, I won't live in fear.
Yeah, TikTok. I tell you, TikTok is... So apparently TikTok, they like pay... they pay their creators. I don't think there is ads on TikTok. I could be wrong. I'm certainly not on there. But it has to be, and I've heard other people talk about this too. They lift the most subversive and cringy and like undermining kind of propaganda to the front on TikTok. And I think it's an intentional, it's like a psychological operation being run by, well, I guess in China in that regard, right? Wasn't Trump going to ban TikTok? Wasn't there a thing about that? And then that fell through. And then Biden got back in and it was immediately a release, right? There was a deal that was going to be overseen or something. Anyway, whatever. Anyway, here's more on the this you know, that... And we kind of... We called this. We talked about this at the time, that they were like... They would let people kind of just like kind of touch their freedom, if you will, a little bit. The lockdown's ending. It's you know, it's coming to a close. We'll be able to go outside again and hug people. Remember all the plastic people, the bubble people and all that stuff, births behind sheets of plastic, and people are standing in like translucent shower curtains with like special designed holes in it to like hug their grandparents and shit like that. I mean, these people are crazy, right? But anyway, so in the UK, Boris says that the jury is out on June 21st, Freedom Day, as it's been dubbed. As it's revealed, Indian COVID mutant has now reached 40% of England's local authorities and is dominant in 23 of them. So how many cases have been recorded in your area? Blah, blah, blah. So very conveniently, it's interesting that it picked June 21st as well, which of course is the summer solstice, right? That's the Freedom Day they're picking. I think that's very significant. And I think we're not going to see it in a... Maybe Denmark will get there. But there could be some international kind of like, oh, that's it, the new strain, it doesn't work for the vaccine. And I think the people, I think I saw a clip about this where a lady said, and I think she works in healthcare. I could be wrong on that, where she worked, but she was saying that every patient that they were seeing right now in their ward that were sick and like dying of COVID are people that had been vaccinated, both shots. See if I can find that clip later. It was kind of revealing, actually, right? So we've talked about that like the people that have taken the vaccine are going, when they're re-exposed to a new strain of the vaccine, are going to get much more sick and potentially even die because of it, right? Because it's an immunosuppressant. It's something that attacks your immune system. It's lowering your immunity. Lots of problems with the vaccine, right? So anyway, England had this... Well, the UK had this scare map of all the areas where it's breaking out and the new Indian variant. And yeah, we'll see. We're probably never going to open up again. It's never going to happen. So a lot of gay stuff, right? A lot of gay ops attached to this. I'm not sure the footage that we're seeing out of India, how accurate that is. I just know when we finally went back and looked at the videos out of China of like, you know, people tripping over and collapsing and all that kind of stuff. Like most of that... turned out to be a fake, right? Most of that turned out to be other events. It was other drills. It was other things that happened. But it was put under this banner, essentially, that it was like, this is the coronavirus. And that's when I think most of us got, you know, scared shitless. Because keep in mind, the media at the time was suppressing that information as well. Oh, no, they were literally like, it's just the flu in the beginning. Don't worry about it. And when Trump wanted to close the borders to the U.S., he was, you know, he was a racist, go out and hug a Chinese person and blah, blah, blah. You know, the rest of the story. That's how crazy it was, right? Okay. Let's go over to this one here, boys and girls. Wait, there was a colorful chat there. I almost missed it. Sorry about that. Try to keep an eye on Jake from State Farm over on Trovo. Says, who decided that jab sounded better than shot? Reminds me of whiskey, and jab reminds me of a shank. Yeah, I think it's the UK term that took off just because it's like, you know, we're in ADD land right now. It's shorter, the better, like the shorter abbreviations. It's a jab as opposed to corona, COVID-19 vaccine or something, I would assume. But I agree, it's kind of a... it's kind of an offensive term. I'm not sure how Frank Luntz decided agreeing on something like that. It's definitely a, kind of have a negative connotation, I'd think, but I don't know. It doesn't matter. Pat with a winner or dancing chicken. Thank you, Pat. Appreciate that. Very kind of you. So let's switch over to this story now. Very, very sad story of Cash Gernon. Gernon, not quite sure I pronounced his last name correct. A 4-year-old white boy. That was kidnapped in his bed while sleeping next to his twin brother, abducted, and then finally murdered somewhere on the street, right, in Texas. I think it was Dallas, right? Was it Dallas? Darren Brown, 18, a black man. And again, keep in mind, we're talking about stories like this. If the racial roles were reversed, if it was a white teenager, or almost an adult. He is an adult, I mean, for Christ's sake, obviously. He would be, it would be mass amounts of news stories about this. What drove him? What was he thinking? Was it racism? Was it a lynching? What was it? Why happened? How did this happen? Kind of thing. I saw an amount of, a whopping 2 news stories about this story yesterday on Google News. Here's a screenshot from it, right? Take a look at that. 2 news stories, as you can see, in the top. Let me zoom in a bit on that right there. 2 news stories. You searched Cash Gernon. Two news stories from CBS Dallas Fort Worth. There was a, you know, couple of independent outlets that picked up on this and whatnot. But can you imagine if this was the roles here were reversed of the coverage? There would have been riots, BLM protests. There would have been a thorough investigation of this young man. What was he thinking? What websites did he visit? How can we shut them down? This is, you know, intentional murder, blah, blah, blah. And anyway, here's the footage. Came out yesterday from the Daily Mail. It's a bit longer, but we might skip forward a couple of places of how it looked when Cash first went to bed and then when he actually was kidnapped. So keep in mind, there's a twin in the bed here as well. They're obviously, poor family. I think this is a converted garage, if I'm not mistaken. Or there was something that he entered in through the garage door, like a busted up door. There were some photos on the Daily Mail piece. We'll look at that later here. So here, Darren Brown shows up, captured on the surveillance camera footage. And he stands around for a long time. It kind of looks like he's on the phone or something first, but I don't think he is. He just holds up his hand to his head. And he stands for quite a while. Let's skip forward a little bit here. Kind of skipping forward, yeah. Then he finally looks out. I'm not sure what he's just waiting to seeing if there's asleep, or if he hears something. I'm not sure what he's doing, but he's standing for a very long time. There's another cut there from the surveillance video released by Daily Mail. Someone in chat says drugging the kidney. I don't think so. I think he's just assessing it here. And there's another cut here. And there it is. Look at that. His twin brother is moving in the bed there too. It almost looks like the boys, the cat is awake, doesn't it? Am I wrong about that? He's kind of upright. It's almost like he's it kind of looks like he's awake almost at that point. Anyway, let me go forward a bit here. So he came back. So this, yeah, there's a cut there in the provided surveillance video. Obviously lights up and everything out when he returns. Let me skip forward here. And so he's presumably, this is when he's, I don't know this about the timeline here, but presumably he has returned back again after he's murdered Cash. I don't know. Maybe he's keeping him. So I don't know. Right. But the point is, he's coming back for his twin brother while he's in the same crib. No stories, no protests, no outrage. Here's finally his Cash's twin brother waking up. Fucking horrific. It's unbelievable. And it looks like he's looking for his... He's looking for his brother, I think. Here's back. There's some audio here. Oh, shit. All right. So that's the video right there, boys and girls. Really hard to watch something like that. And again, due to zero news stories, basically, virtually. I mean, there are a few. Yes, you can find them, and yes, Daily Mail is doing a piece on it right now. But like the incessant, nonstop kind of news coverage that you see when there's any kind of reverse racial roles, right? Absolutely despicable. Absolutely despicable. It's incredible. So anyway, they're piecing together the story right now. The cops are here. Here's both brothers together. Cash is on the right there in the image. And another white boy lost, murdered, killed. All right. Anyway, and you know how to story about this here too. Derren Brown has been charged over the abduction and stabbing murder of a 4-year-old in Dallas. Cash Gernon, it's okay, say his name, buddy. A jogger found the toddler dead in a pool of blood on the street. The suspect's mother said he didn't do it. I feel that he's being framed, she said. Yeah. Brown's Instagram bio reads, thug life. There you go. Think there is an encouragement in the media to hate white people right now? Is that what's leading to these kinds of murders, of targeting white kids like this? Of course it is. When is the fucking media going to be held responsible for shit like this, right? When are they going to be able to be held accountable and sued for the incitement that they're leading in this assault on white people that they're leading in the media? When is it going to end, right? When are they going to be held accountable? Because you know that's what it is. They see stories, you know, they hate whitey, you can, you know, white people kill white people. Everybody, every outlet is doing this shit right now, right? Anyway, here's some footage more from inside the room here, too. Here's a dad. Anyway, I don't want to linger on it. It's hard to watch this stuff. But yeah, obviously, you know, a poorer family, and I think they were in the garage. And again, it's like, you know, is a privileged, is white privilege, right? That's what this is then, I assume, right? That, you know, if it was a more of a high profile case, it would never be seen, of course, through the racial lens, but if it was like a wealthier family or more influential family, it will be, kind of a completely different coverage, of course, in the press and shit like that. Absolutely sickening, right? Blas DeLizo over on Entropy Stream says, forum for employees to take human resources if they are getting pressured to take the jab. Interesting. I have to pull up that article. Maybe I can pull it in later. Thank you. Blas DeLizo, appreciate that. Is that from Solari Report? That's Catherine Austin Fitz. That's right. Okay, I see. Okay, so it's like a help form for employees who employees are acquiring COVID-19 injections. Okay, interesting. That could be good to share in the chat as well. Since DLive's down, let me share it on Trovo. If you want to check that out, that could be interesting. If you do end up in a situation like that, let me see if I can pull it up on screen real quick here. Sorry, I got to pull it over to the other computer real quick here. But I'll do that, and that way show it on screen so you can search for it. If you end up in a situation like that, if that is something that works, let's see here. One second here, guys. Come on. Nope, doesn't work. Doesn't want to work. One second. Let me do that again. That doesn't work. A little boomer tech here. All right, there we go. Let me pull that up real quick so you can see it. Scroll up to the top. Here we go. Okay, here it is. So it's from Solari.com under, actually pandemic.solari.com. But search for this then. Hopefully you can find it. Form for employees whose employers are acquiring COVID-19 injections. She has it as a PDF right there too. I've not gone through this, but I assume it's something you can, that would put them in a situation where they potentially are held liable if they're pushing it on you or something like that, or try to attempt to fire you if you have, if they're trying to push it on you. So that's a good source. Thank you so much for that. Let me put on in Entropy there as well. I think you guys saw it in Entropy, but just in case, thank you, Blast Aliso. Appreciate that. Two more from Blast Aliso here. That poor little angel's life was miserable. His dad abandoned him with an ex-girlfriend, and his real mother never bothered to search for him and his brother. Oh, is that the backstory? Yeah, I didn't have time to look into the backstory, but that I did have a story there about how that's the girlfriend of the dad right there, I think, on the left, right? So obviously the mom was out of the picture. It looked like he was okay, taken care of okay by the boys, though. Oh, his dad abandoned him with an ex-girlfriend? Is that so? Holy shit. Yeah, this just makes it so much worse. Blas Elizu again says, welcome to South African boer life in America. Yeah, exactly. It's slowly beginning to happen, right? Girlfriend of Cash Gurnon's father breaks down as she describes how 18-year-old abductor Darren Brown broke in through the garage to snatch the toddlers as he slept next to his brother. Yeah, it's just she was the one taking care of him, right? I didn't know that. I thought that they were together still here. All right. Anyway, we've watched enough of that. But yeah, we need to remember these kids' names. I have a whole list of them. That's what the other side does. Okay. Okay. Another colorful chat here from Jake from State Farm. He says, "I'm not trying to victim blame, but all I can think was if the kid had only screamed, things might have turned out different, sad." Yeah, but you never know. I mean, maybe he was out. It looked like it was kind of awake, though. Maybe he was, you know, high trust. He thought it was someone he could, someone just to pick him up. It was a sitter. Who knows, right? Who knows what the situation was there? Pretty incredible stuff. All right, let me scroll back up here and make sure we didn't miss another colorful chat. Spiteful Mutants sent a couple of on-fire spells. Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay, let me scroll down to the bottom. All right, so let's talk about a Robo thing sent to Stay Safe spells as well. Thank you. Another Robo winner spell. Dancing Chicken from Robo Think. Thank you. So let's look at the situation in Spain for a little bit right now. So it's Ceuta, I think you pronounce it. In Spain, which is the city enclave, basically, in North Africa. And so a lot of migrants have been and are trying to get to this piece of land to get a foothold, to get a foot in, so that they can get a path into Spain and Europe, of course, as well. This is a Swedish source here, Fredrik. They had a story about 6,000 illegal migrants have forced their way into Spain by accessing this enclave in North Africa, Ceuta. Let's take a look at some footage here of how it looked. Let me see here. Where are we? Here it's the first one. So the military was deployed to deal with the situation, and you've seen the international human rights community kvetching and complaining. And it's like, well, what do you expect? Who's just expecting? I'm surprised it's happening. Don't get me wrong. What are you expecting, that Spain is supposed to just pry open their borders? Yes, that's what they're expecting, obviously. Check out this footage here. This is from RT. And now it's like, So think about the situation in Palestine or the Middle East too, right? Oh my God, this is like Israel shooting rockets at the Palestinians. Like, there is nothing like it. Actually, there is, but there's a reverse here, right? Because those coming to colonize are the migrants. It's not Europeans colonizing. Israel showed up most recently in the Middle East and tried to claim the territory, and did claim the territory and took it for themselves, right? So, yeah, update from Quetta. Let me read this real quick here, too. Spain deploys army after 8,000, we can play that footage again there, after 8,000 Moroccan migrants swim to the enclave. The tiny peninsula has been overwhelmed by a record number of migrants, some 8,000, including around 1,500 miners, yeah, we'll see about that, swam 2 kilometers to the Spanish North African enclave in just 2 days, according to officials. The Spanish Prime Minister has arrived in Quetta and called in troops as he vowed to restore order. Well, good, for once. Reports suggesting half of the migrants have already been sent back. Good. It's not supposed to be there. A diplomatic spat unfolded as Spain's foreign minister expressed her displeasure to her Moroccan counterpart, stating that border control was a joint responsibility. Absolutely, it sure is. Some analysts believe Morocco has turned a blind eye to the masses surging to Quetta, or Ceuta, to put diplomatic pressure on Madrid to recognize its sovereignty over the former Spanish colony. Western Sahara, right? So there's always like, yeah, it's ours anyway. Reconquista, right? Now, that's correct. Spain had to apologize for 1492. They even have to issue free citizenship to everybody who wants it just because of what they did, right? But now they can do Reconquista. It's totally fine. Don't worry about it. Here's some more footage from the enclave here in Quetta as they're overwhelming parts of the town there and just running across the streets. And this is one of the reasons why the military was deployed eventually, right? I don't think was there audio on this? I don't think there was audio on this. Here's another clip showing some of the streets. Look at this. Invasion, that's what it is. Colonists coming to colonize Europe. But now it's okay, you see. Now, that type of colonization, that's the correct one. Because that puts white people in a bad spot. So that's correct. It's okay when they do it, right? Yeah, so here's some of the images coming out, as well as Spanish soldiers are pushing back migrants into the sea on the Moroccan border. Look at this.
Bordeando el espigón. Eso pasaba en el Tarajal, porque en Benzú seguía habiendo un coteo constante de... Bordeando el espigón. Eso pasaba en el Tarajal, porque en Benzú seguía habiendo un coteo constante de... Bordeando el espigón.
So, everyone is expecting the... EU to do nothing, the military to do... Oh, actually, they're expecting them to just help them in, right? To bring them in. They've shown up at your border. You have to... Doesn't matter that they're illegal. It's now mob rule. It's because we feel that it's the right thing to do, right? Keep that in mind, too. These people are breaking the law. They're there illegally. What are they supposed to do? We're full. Sorry. Things are collapsing on our end. Things are falling apart. We can't take in more. Here's some more footage. A Basque left-wing politician here, a commie, is complaining in Spanish here, as the military is trying to restore some sensible, trying to do something against an invasion of people that have the right to be there, right? Spain is not a theme park. You can't just show up and get everything you want. The EU is not either. Like, they have to take care of you. They have to. You're trying to run away from them. If you're on the land, then they'll take you in. And again, I'm sure they will be like, they will be processed. They will be, yeah, you're gonna have right to seek asylum. All those kinds of things. I'm sure that's gonna happen here too. But they're trying to portray it that it's like, oh my God, this is like Israel. You know, which is like this. completely a reversal of the situation, right? Another news story here. Spain militarizes Ceuta, expels thousands of migrants, and promises firmness. I don't know what happened. Maybe it's just a bit, maybe these articles are just kind of, you know, in and of themselves a gay op, where they're not going to do any of this. Maybe it's just a way to, like, you know, kind of contain and control, and then they will, but they will let him in, you know, in a method or with a methodology that they want or something like that, right? Let me see here. Thank you to Jack Dark for the Odyssey, the Library token over in Odyssey. Appreciate that. Try to keep an eye on that too as we go here, so I don't miss anyone there. Thank you. I have some more footage here to play. I want to tie this together. It kind of relates a little bit to, you know, what we saw in Scotland and stuff like that too, right? I want to try to kind of convey this, that it's like, it just can't continue like this, right? It just can't go on and on like this. Here are the French, right, saying we're full, right? Which is good. Let me see here. Did I show? Yeah, I showed those. Look at this. Here's some other footage. Let me go back over here, actually. Here's some more stuff that's coming out. Here is the supposed, someone posted this with saying this is the, like, the conservative type leader in Spain. And they had greeting his new future voter base here. Because that's what this is too, right? It's a big, usually by the left wing, of course, to import a whole new voter base. Even if they're illegals, it doesn't matter. They get voting rights and everything else too, right? It's like that one guy, the Bono, the head of the Bono organization. One, I forget what his name was, sitting in Ireland, talking about how we're senescent, right? Which means like a dead, coagulated clump of cells, basically. We're senescent, demographically speaking, in the West. And so we have to be reinvigorated by these people coming. Check this out here. Let me see. Was it this one? Yeah, that's right. I didn't open this yet. Let me pull this up real quick here. The shocking images of the mass arrival of immigrants to the Spanish enclave, right? So it's another wave here of an invasion, right? Of an immigration wave coming. And here you can see, of course, as well, here's military taking care of them, right? I'm saying that the footage that we've seen come up so far, and again, this is from left-wing activists, trying to make it look, from their point of view, as bad as possible, so that there will be like a hands-off approach. Okay, well, we can't do that. That's an international outrage. Let them all come in, kind of thing. But in reality, I think that we're seeing I think we're actually seeing them helping them in most of the situations, like we can see here, right? Now here's a Red Cross worker too, and I have a specific clip on that. But as you can see, the military there is helping, and they're aiding, they're leading people to the, I would assume, you know, kind of the right place or something like that too. You know, here's one where he's swinging his baton, but most of the other photos I've seen, they're just like directing them in the right place and stuff like that. But see, look at that photo in the middle there. I have a clip on this, right? Look at this. See what you think of this. Here we go. It says in Spanish here, emotional images out of Ceuta or Ceuta. So this is seen as no matter what you think of this, where you stand on this, what we need to know is at the end of the day, we can't take in and help the world. That's just the reality of it, especially in these times, especially in the times that we are going to see what's going to come, right? Supply chain breakdown, disruption, conflicts, problems. I mean, we're just seeing the beginning of this now, right? Partially because of this lockdown and this COVID bullshit and stuff like that too, but this is going to lead to other things, you know, the microchip shortage that's coming in the wake of this, which is leading to things like new farm equipment, new stuff that these massive, huge farms use. there's going to be a delay there. If there's breakdowns and farmers need new equipment, there's going to be a delay. It's going to wait, which means food production. All these things, and I want to kind of tie this together here, but the point is we can't take in the world. We can't help the world. At some point, it has to stop, right? It's just what it is. The reality is at the end of the day, it's either their children or it's our children. And people go, well, it's not that rash. I don't think most people watching will view that, but there could be other people who's like, well, or the West has a responsibility for everything you've done and blah, blah, blah. Now, colonialism has done wonders for many of these countries, by the way, too. We shouldn't go unrecognized. But it doesn't matter at the end of the day. We have to look out for our own kids. The very fact that these people do show up to our shores and to want to be in our countries is because they are putting themselves and their children first. Otherwise, they wouldn't show up. But they're trying to say that it's an outrage when we do it. So we can't do the very same thing that they're doing on that same level. It's seen as, well, you have something, so therefore you have to give that away. And my point is no, because it's going to be at the detriment of our children, right? These people are going to sit at our table. They're going to, you know, benefit from our citizenships eventually, if that's what they, you know, even go on doing. They might just live legally and provide to the criminal underworld in many of our countries, you know, drugs and all the kind of stuff, prostitution, which ends up being a big issue, right? I'm saying it's we have to make a choice. And these humanitarians, they just think we can open the borders and help everybody and there's never going to be an issue with this are vastly mistaken. They're expecting us to do, and it goes back to the footage we watched earlier too of Kenmure Street, right, in Scotland, right, that there's like, you have that sentiment there of like, yes, we could, you know, let them all stay, let them all in, and they're looking the other way of the problems that are brought to Europe with these people. And again, it's just like it or not, right, but you see that footage, and you know, since many of these people came, it's just a fact and just a reality. And again, I don't think people watching this, it's not news to you, but to many people, it's still they're still not aware of the rape epidemic in countries like Sweden that's come in the wake of open borders, right? And they're seeing some of these Red Cross workers, you can see it. They're seeing these people just as a cuddly teddy bear. It's even a substitute for children or something. You know what I mean? And it's like, you can have a bleeding heart and you might want to help these people and all that kind of good stuff. But at the end of the day, with everything that's happening, it's going to be at the expense of our children. And either we have countries for us and our people, just in the same way that they have countries for them and their children. And just like they want to look after themselves and their kids first, we should also look out for us and our children first. So some of the reasons why I'm bringing this up too is because of what's happening right now with the world economy, the supply chain issue, the shutdown, the shortages that's coming. Like when things run dry, when things run low, when things suddenly, the conveniences that we've been accustomed to having suddenly is not there anymore, do you think that these multicultural zones is going to have much easier time getting along together? No, it's going to be massive ethnic conflicts on top of existing issues already, right? We have to take precautions. We have to ensure that we have what we need first. That's just how it goes. And again, they think like that. There's nothing wrong for us to think like that, right? That's why they're showing up at our door. They don't, you know, again, even go back to the pro-Palestine kind of stuff, right? You have these hardcore Palestinian nationalists of like, yes, the, you know, settler colonialism and stuff like that, but they won't even look in terms of what's happening in Western and European countries and comparing the situation and saying, you know what, that's true. Wait a minute. Look at the elites that are opening the borders. These people in European and Western countries didn't ask for this. They're not doing this to us. It's not their fault. Let's not be willing pawns in the game and play along with this, right? So here's some transport topics. A couple of sources in this, right? The world economy is suddenly running low on everything. And this is the reason why we can't help the rest of the world, because soon enough, we can't even help ourselves. Do you understand? A year ago, as the pandemic ravaged country after country and economies shuddered, consumers were the ones panic buying. Today, on the rebound, it's companies furiously trying to stock up. Now, we've covered this in the latest Weekend Warrior show as well. Number of, like, supply chain issues, our shipping companies, massive shipping companies that are warning about this, what's coming. And it could be all, it could be a gay op, right? It could be not a completely natural brought about circumstance. I recognize that too, but the end results are going to be the same whether you know, whether it's legit or an artificially created one. Mattress producers to car manufacturers to aluminum foil makers are buying more material than they need to survive the breakneck speed at which demand for goods is recovering, and assuage, is that how you pronounce that? Assuage that primal fear of running out. The frenzy is pushing supply chains to the brink of seizing up. Shortages, transportation bottlenecks, and price spikes are nearing the highest levels in recent memory, raising concerns that a supercharged global economy will stoke inflation. You know what will happen when inflation comes as well? It's incredible, right? Vanilla Sandy with a dancing chicken or winner. Thank you. A little break here on this. The Rocket 2021 with a four hype. Spells, thank you. Spiteful Mutant with a dancing chicken or a winner as well. Another one from Vanilla Sandy, thank you. Appreciate that. I'm sure I didn't miss any colorful chats here. We had scrolling back up again, Karavkaki with a hype, thank you. Three Roses, also from Karavkaki, thank you. Appreciate that. Jake from State Farm with a winner or dancing chicken. Here we go. Jake from State Farm with a colorful chat says, I just watched the Al Jazeera Al-Nakba documentary about the founding of Israel. It was extremely enlightening, especially how Israel used mass Jewish immigration to take over Palestine and expel the Palestinians. Yes, absolutely. I know a lot about that. And that's, of course, why I, you know, support them in the region why they're at. But why then can't they make the comparison? The anti-left, the anti-Zionist left make the comparison and see how immigration is, you know, done to displace us in our country. They will never look at that, right? And that's my point as well. So I support them there in the region, but I don't support Arab populations coming to Europe and colonizing us. Absolutely not. And we can't... You take their side as opposed to just taking an anti-Israel side. You think if you aid and help to let them win, so to speak, to win out, and this is not an encouragement for their opposite to win either. It's a third way, a different option here. But if you let their side win out, you think they will stand in solidarity with you? They will run you over. They will crush you. Try showing up at one of these pro-Palestinian rallies and tell them what you where you really stand. We'll see how they treat you, right? Anyway, yeah. So I show that, right? The French said we're full, right? 71% of French says we're full. No more immigration. We've talked about the military in France too. Their warning generals are warning. Sorry, I'm just reading a couple of things here while I'm trying to talk about the article here. But yeah, France is on the brink of collapse, basically, as well. Military revolt, all these kinds of things. And immigration is, I think, the primary driver. Now, what might push it over the edge is the full consequences of the COVID lockdown and stuff like that, basically, right? The economic fallout from that. And then you'll have incredible ethnic conflicts, I think, on top of just existing mayhem and chaos, right? Lone Star Texan over on Entropy Stream says they're coming across the Texas border alone by the hundreds of thousands right now. Is that how it is? Like last few days, I haven't been keeping up with it. I need to look closer at that. Thank you, Lone Star Texan. I don't doubt it. I see it every day. It's just open borders everywhere in the West, right? Cuckfree Zone says, let's face it, white replacement won't stop until the small hats are identified as the culprit and banned / kicked out of all of Europe. Well, you'd think then that these anti-Semitic pro-Palestinian factions, be they in Europe or be they in America or even in Palestine, would you know, if you're to follow your reasoning here, that they would see that they're being used as pawns in the same game by the same controllers. But you don't see that, right? There's an expectance that we should take their side, but without them just even recognizing them that we're in the same boat, right? They won't take your side. If you're taking their side, they will never take your side. And so we don't have to. We can take our own side. Could be anti-Israel, but you don't have to be pro-Palestine. In Palestine, I'm pro-Palestine, but outside of that, I'm not. No. I'm anti-Israel. They should get out, right? Hatchet JYT says, Avenger of Fallen, invaders into the sea, secure our future. Thank you, sir. Cockfree Zone, I second Hatchet JYT into the sea. Look, if Europeans had arrived en masse in a country like this illegally, you would have seen the machine guns flaring up. Like you would have seen like mass rise up of the population, and in many regards I think many would encourage it too. Here are these white colonialist Europeans are trying to reclaim land or shit like that, right? It's crazy, right? Mr. Noseberg over there too, thank you, sir, appreciate that. A couple of emoticons, appreciate it, good to see you, Mr. Noseberg. Okay, let me see where we're at in the my order here. Yeah, so we talked about the supply chain shutdown that's might come here. There's more on that story, by the way, too. Copper, iron ore, steel, corn, coffee, wheat, soybeans, lumber, semiconductors, plastics, and cardboard for packaging. The world is seemingly low on all of it. You name it, we have a shortage of it. Tom Lindberger, chairman and chief executive of engine and generator manufacturer Cummins Incorporated. So they don't call this month, right? So inflation and stuff like that, we're full. We can't take it in. Make matters even more worse to kind of give you this idea too, that some of the supply chain shutdowns might even be a manufactured one, right? Which makes this so much more interesting. We've talked about the Great Reset. We've talked about that document out of the UK called Absolutes Zero. Let's see if I can find that. Let me do a quick search on that, by the way, which is interesting, right? Because it's about bringing everything, including production, house building, you name it, anything, to absolute zero. Let me pull in that screenshot again. That's from the PDF. It's from a British think tank, and it's kind of small on screen, so you might have to make it a bit bigger or whatever, full screen to see. Let me zoom in a bit here too, and we can look. Here's the timeline. If we look at the top here, right, 2020 to 2029. They go through different categories here, right? This UK think tank of how we're going to supposedly get everything to absolute zero. Road vehicles, rail, flying, shipping, heating, appliances, food, mining material, sourcing. This is a great reset here, folks. Material production, construction, manufacturing, electricity. And you can see here, if we go back up again, in the kind of timeline bar at the top, or the year or decade listed there, a decrease. They're planning then a decrease, right, from 2030 to 2049, and then eventually at 2050, we're going to reach absolute zero on some of these categories that we saw over on the left-hand side, including flying, shipping. Look at that, absolute zero, nothing. Some of the other ones are just a choke point and stuff like that. And then they're imagining beyond 2050, in the right-hand side column there, that magically there will be this new technology, I guess teleportation or some other magical shit. Who's going to come up with that, by the way? The replaced populations that are minority in European countries, I assume, are going to come up with some magical way for us to just produce things without it having any effect or consequence of the environment. But I'm reminding you of that. I went through this in more detail in one of the Weekend Warrior shows. That's why you get to be subbed over on redicemembers.com. So you get this story. We've been talking a lot about the supply chain issue in the Weekend Warrior show. But that's how they're bringing it to absolute zero. But that's why this is interesting, which I'm showing on screen right now, about the colonial pipeline. Remember, they were putting gasoline in plastic bags, some of these loonies, right? All of that seemed to have been an unnecessary step. Why? Because apparently it was only the billing system that was affected by this hack from, was it DarkSide, that they had paid out, was it like something like 90 million or something like that in Bitcoin, 50 million in Bitcoin to this group? And I was like, what is this group? Is it a front? Is it just they're meant to do these kinds of things to bring things seemingly to a halt? But anyway, Kim Zetter here, which is a left-wing lunatic, says, CNN has not confirmed what I wrote 4 days ago, that the colonial pipeline shut down because they couldn't bill customers. Per CNN, the company halted operations because its billing system was compromised and they were concerned they wouldn't be able to figure out how much to bill. So person referencing an earlier tweet they did here. Source also tells me one reason Colonial might have taken Operation Network down, aside from being cautious, is because they may not be able to invoice customers who received fuel if their IT network is locked with ransomware, preventing them from being paid for fuel. Do you see where this is? It means they could have kept it up and running, but they decided not to just because they couldn't bill their customers. So they could have figured that out later, but instead they almost took the country to a standstill if it would have continued. And maybe not because there actually was a supply chain breakdown or because it was a shortage of fuel, but because of the panic that ensued because people were told that, shit, a pipeline is being shut down, you better go get fuel. And so everyone's running to get gas, which is, of course, increasing the consumption of it, which then brings the country to a standstill, right? But again, that's kind of stuff you're going to get with the Green New Deals and Absolute Zero and all that kind of stuff anyway, right? So it's incredible. And again, think of the consequences that this will have to our way of life. We're talking about it. I mean, again, it's just we can't even put this in perspective. Like the type of people, it's like I'm seeing around this, like we're out on a branch civilization wise on such insecure, weak foundations that anything could cause it to just completely and utterly break down, right? Everything, as I say in the shipping world, everything just arrives in time. It's right there at the time when you need it. You use it to produce what you need to produce, and then you sell your goods, and that's when other people get your stuff, which is for them just in time. There's no massive warehouses full of extra stuff. There's no, you know, banks. There's no... Do you see what I'm saying? And so right now, if there's just a single link in this chain that collapses, everything could be coming down, just like it did during the Bronze Age collapse, right? So the people that can't even make a fire... that are concerned about LGBT rights more than they are about survival. You think how are these people going to weather in a world that is where there's nothing left? There's nothing at the stores, right? What do you think is going to happen here, right? All right. Anyway, I'm yapping too much here. I'm going to change the topic. We'll get to a couple of other things here before we wrap up. Some things maybe a little bit more lighthearted. Shadow government says the yellow shall inherit the earth. The yellow shall inherit. That's an interesting take on that line. Thank you, sir. Ron Trovo. Let me double check entropy real quick. And then we'll move on. Talk about Justin a little bit. Justin Trudeau. Good old Trudeau. Cockfree Zone. Do you know if it's true that the small hats have bought up all the ammo manufacturing companies in the U.S.? I heard this was true, but don't know. I've actually not heard that at all, whatsoever. I have to look it up. Sorry, Cockfree Zone, I can't help you on that. I would assume maybe there's conglomerates that own these kinds of things, and a bigger company, they buy up them, and eventually, you know, you go at the top, and it's the same people, the same companies, basically, right? I would assume, but I'll have to look into it. Think of the heads up on that. Okay, so... come now for something completely different. Justin Trudeau caught using a fake Apple MacBook. That's right. He was on a HP laptop and decided to put a Apple logo sticker on his computer for some reason, which might seem irrelevant in the scope of things of all the severe heavy things we've been talking about. But I thought we could switch over for some different kind of stuff here at the end of the show. But yeah, Liberal Party spokesperson confirmed to Vice World News. The Canadian Prime Minister was using a fake Mac. Does he have a contract with him or something? Is that why he's agreed to always be seen with an Apple, I would assume, or something, or a Mac or something, right? Right on the Liberal Party website for Team Trudeau training, a hub of teachers, supporters how to organize in their writing. Wait a minute, what is this? I can't even read this sentence. Right now on the Liberal Party website, for Team Trudeau training, a hub that teaches supporters how to organize in their writing. There's a photo of Trudeau sitting carefully in front of what appears to be a MacBook while in a video conference. Upon closer inspection, though, it's clear the Apple logo is just a sticker covering up a decidedly less cool HP logo. The charging cable also visible is black, not white. And the shaped different. This is Vice News, right? Doing forensic investigation on the computers that Trudeau is using. So I would assume it's some kind of agreement or something with Apple that he always has to be seen with. It's kind of weird, isn't it? All right. Let me see. Did I miss a colorful chat right there? No, I did that one. Just checking. Okay. Next one. Bill Gates is being hung out to dry for some interesting reason. I loathe the Daily Beast. It's a filthy, disgusting outlet. They're built on lies and all that kind of stuff. So I don't like talking about them too often. But they had a story on Bill Gates thought Jeffrey Epstein was his ticket to a Nobel Prize. So I don't know if you can trust it. I know that they do really shoddy journalism. Occasionally you get some stuff out of there, which is, I guess, okay or whatever. But for some interesting reason, the elites have decided to turn on Bill Gates, which I assume then is to side with Melinda Gates, I would assume. What's her name? Francis? Melinda Francis Gates, right? And they've talked about his connections to Epstein. Now, they've said that Melinda Gates tried to warn about, she was outraged about this and all that kind of stuff, right? So I would assume a lot of speculation about this, of why they're turning on Bill Gates. I think it's simply that his, during the corona stuff and his being interviewed on every channel and being the advisor, pushing him forward like he's some kind of medical doctor to talk about vaccinations and what to do and how lockdowns and all this stuff, it's just turned too unpopular. I don't think they can keep it up anymore. I think he's expendable. I think he's always been a PR man. He's a face of the establishment. Which makes him expendable, right? The real people that are really pushing the strings behind the scenes are people we don't even know the names of, if you'd ask me. There's some maybe kind of in the in-between. We might know their names. They might pop up here and there, but they can be still very influential. But I think for the most part, doesn't mean he's not wealthy, doesn't mean but he's in on it with these people at the top. He's part of the elite. He's part of the top. But clearly he's expendable. For some reason, they've decided to turn on him, hanging out to dry. And I think it's related to his immense unpopularity. And there's no way of salvaging his reputation, especially after the COVID and the lockdown debacles and stuff like that. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, so we've seen a lot of this in terms of Epstein, right? Now, speaking of Bill Gates, this was a story from a couple of days ago as well. Just a reminder about that. Almost all the articles I was looking at did not mention Bill Gates. But Bill Gates is part of funding the company, partially funding the company that brought this about. So for the first time, genetically modified mosquitoes are hatching and are now being released in the U.S. Mosquito eggs placed in the Florida Keys are about to hatch tens of thousands of genetically altered mosquitoes. The first such release of synthetic insects in the world, according to an initial report from the Scientific American. Pilot program for genetically modified mosquitoes could see millions more released this year. The biotech firm called Oxitec, which again, Bill Gates is partially funding, delivered the modified mosquitoes eggs late in April as part of a federally endorsed experiment to study the use of genetic engineering as opposed to insecticide to control populations of illness-spreading mosquitoes. This project targets one specific species of mosquitoes called Aedes aegypti, known to carry Zika, Chikungunya, yellow fever, dengue, and other possibly deadly diseases. And some of these diseases have been on the rise in Florida. I remember the big scare about Zika, and it wasn't really a big deal, remember? Stuff like that. So this is pretty creepy shit. They're releasing this, and this will be loose in the biosphere. It will do, who knows what it will do, right? It's the same thing with the COVID vaccine in the sense that it's like the vaccine in and of itself is now transmitting between individuals, including those who haven't taken the vaccine, right? It's kind of the same thing. They're genetically altering humans to produce this spiked protein, and then they're shedding that. They're transmitting it to other, giving it, infecting it to essentially to other people, right? Which is then giving them in their view, the immunity. We talked about this in the past show, that this is a new technique. They've used this in animal populations already, where they basically say, we administer it to a couple of animals, and then it spreads, the whole, the vaccine spreads throughout the animal population. And that's what they're doing with us right now as well. Pretty crazy stuff, right? Dancing Chicken, or a winner from Per H. Thank you. Also one from Jake from State Farm. Thank you. I think there was a colorful chat here as well from Jake from State Farm. Speaking about Bill Gates, maybe his wife left because she knew he was going to be hung out to dry like a rat fleeing a sinking ship. Yes, absolutely. Very possible. Yeah, I mean, it would seem to be in some kind of agreement. I think it was Daily Mail. The Daily Beast that has a story of how he hasn't taken off his wedding ring yet or something like that, which I guess is maybe odd. I'm not sure. Okay, let's check the next one. We have a couple of more here, and then we're going to wrap up. So this is another, just quick mention, this is too big of a topic to quickly go into, but there's something, there's another shifting narrative. You know, we've seen a shifting narrative when it comes to Bill Gates and stuff like that, too. But the UFO question, which I think is either, it's one of two things at this point. I think it's either a, just military experiments, whether, or someone somewhere is experimenting in terms of new technology, new crafts and things like that. Some regards, it seems to be too obvious. It's almost like it wants to be seen if you look at some of the footage and things like that, right? But it used to be, it's gone from being ridiculed and, you know, these are nut jobs and conspiracy theorists in the mainstream to being like, yep, military has confirmed it. That's new. Here's new footage. The military is, the DOD is releasing it. And, you know, Tucker Carlson is reporting on it and all that kind of stuff, right? So you have to kind of wonder why. So the other possible scenario of just being experimental crafts that happens to be seen is, of course, that will be used as a hostile force in some capacity. It could be used as a friendly force as well. Look at something like Childhood's End, right? Arthur C. Clarke, how they basically had this alien species show up and they're going to teach us all these wonderful things, but it's like these demands. You have to do this, you have to do that, you have to give up your weapons, you have to disarm, you have to unite, you have to maybe, who knows, maybe racially mix out or something. We have to have one Earth. We can't have different nations here, you know, kind of thing. And then eventually they reveal themselves, at least in Childhood's End, and it turns out to be these like literal like demons. There was a TV show made about that too, but it's kind of an interesting, you know, scenario. But so you could have a scenario where they show up to be, that they're like posed as friendlies. Might not even be real. Might be a you know, Project Bluebeam. It might be a fake alien invasion. But it could swing either way in terms of like, oh, they're good. They're going to give us all this knowledge. They're going to stop global warming for us. But they have these demands. We have to graduate. We have to become a mature intergalactic species, and that there's no nations, there's no different races there, you know, kind of thing. Or it will turn out that it's a actual hostile invasion, which they also then seek to unify on the same basis with. But anyway, Cabot Phillips here, I'm not sure what he works for. Oh, Daily Wire, there you go. Jeez. So he says, so I know everyone's afraid to look like the crazy person, but I can't believe the new UFO report from the Pentagon isn't a bigger deal. Our government says that there are crafts that outstrip our arsenal by at least 100 years to 1,000 years at the moment. And we're like, meh. The former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Intelligence literally said the crafts we are seeing are far beyond anything that we're capable of. There's nothing we could build that would be strong enough to endure that amount of force and acceleration. There were so many sightings, the Pentagon's confirmed that they created a top-secret program to investigate UFOs. So of course, they've done this for years. Project Blue Book, you know, this morphed over the years, right? The USS Princeton and USS Nimitz tracked an aircraft that traveled 60 miles in 3 to 4 seconds after being confronted by an F-18 fighter squadron in the Pacific. Imagine a technology that can do 700 G-force, fly 13,000 miles per hour, evade radar, and has no obvious sign of propulsion, and yet still can defy the effects of Earth's gravity. That's precisely what we're seeing. That's from the director of the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program. We're just now finding out that there have been so many sightings by our military that the Senate Intel Committee is holding a public hearing next month because it's a national security threat. People seem to be taking three different stances here. One, it's advanced U.S. technology being tested. Two, it's China or some foreign military. Three, it's otherworldly. And of course, could be four. It's ours. And it's a gay op. because they want us to do certain things, either for us to get something from them or they will unify us under some kind of conflict. So interesting, eh? We'll see. But I'm sure they will use it. There's been a shift in the narrative for a reason, right? And we're going to wrap up real quick here. Just a couple of more interesting. The shaman attorney, the QAnon shaman attorney. What was his name again? Jacob Chancellor is the guy in the picture here. Attorney Albert Wilkins, I guess is his name, defends his client and alleged Capitol rioters as, quote, short bus people in wild interview. Attorney Albert Watkins gave an interview to Talking Points Memo as the outlet reported on several of the legal arguments that the alleged Capitol rioters have used to address the federal charges they face. One of the tactics is widely believed their attorney will use is the Trump defense. The argument that the accused rioters were compelled to violent crime action because of Donald Trump's election lies and their belief that they were carrying out the former president's will. Interesting. So they linked to, it was the Talking Points memo that had the full story. I have to go through this in more detail to actually see what he said. I don't think it was a video interview, an audio interview. It was just like a written interview. So again, right at the end of the show here, so we don't have time to go through it, but I'll definitely do that again to see what some of the defense are. But it's kind of interesting that some of them are both throwing Trump under the bus. They, in a way, are being thrown under the bus, being called like idiots. And I mean, frankly, it was a goofball riot. I've said that before. They should never have showed up. They should never have done it. But apparently, there is also a reason why many people did show up inside of the Capitol, because they were, as we pointed out early in the process, let in by Capitol Police. Why? So that they can do this gay op, obviously. Here's from band.video here. Just a quick clip in the beginning. It's a longer, it's 30 minutes. We don't have time to look at it. But here's a video from the inside. Some of this have been coming out, I guess, new footage that's showing the police are actually working, you know, with them and stuff like that. Look at this here.
The police here are willing to work with us and cooperate peacefully, like our First Amendment allows. Gather more Americans under the condition that they will come and gather peacefully to discuss what needs to be done to save our country.
Yep. Buffering here.
No attacking, no assault. Remain calm.
We're not going to assault. We're going to be heard. Everybody, this must be peaceful.
This has to be peaceful. We have the right to peacefully assemble.
So again, that's just one of these new videos that are coming out from inside. Obviously,
here we go, right there. Okay, so I'll have to look through some of that more footage, but just to give you a little bit of a slice of that. Of course, they were let in. Of course, this was a big. You know, bullshit thing from the beginning, right? I have a little bit more, but we'll save it for next time. Maybe for Friday, we'll see. A little bit on the Space Force commander is removed after saying the Marxism is infiltrating the military. Other retired generals in the U.S. are saying that they're, Biden is letting in all these Marxist policies and shit like that, right? The Pentagon is monitoring social media of military personnel to get them out and stuff like that. You're seeing a massive transformation. This is part of targeting the 74 million. Of the people that voted for Trump and stuff like that, but they're trying to change or alter the makeup of the military so that it can be used against the people that they consider to be, those at the top consider to be enemies, right? So anyway, we'll return with some more of that, but we're going to wrap up here, guys. We're past the top of the hour, way past top of the hour. Let me do a couple of the last ones here on Entropy. Appreciate everybody. Let me see here. Cuckfree Zone says maybe Bill Gates' wife left because she walked in on him feasting on adrenochrome one too many times. Yeah, who knows? I still haven't put that theory to the rest, to be honest. So they're doing these blood transfusions. There was this famous photo coming out of Elon Musk. Did you guys see this? I got to pull that in real quick here. The super chat reminded me. The PayPal founders, right? Peter Thiel and Elon Musk. And whereas Elon Musk has obviously done some upgrades, especially to his hairline and stuff like that. Let me see if I can find it. Peter Thiel looks almost exactly the same. And someone was commenting on that and they were saying, yeah, it's because he's doing, look up Peter Thiel and blood transfusions. Look at Musk right there. Again, who's the company that's like one of the biggest online, e-commerce banks right now? Well, it's PayPal, right? It's funded by these guys. Elon Musk, he tanks Bitcoin. He's talking about, I forgot to mention it early on in the show, he's talking about all this bullshit, how it's bad for the environment. And like NVIDIA is even backscaling on the hash rate on NVIDIA cards to make them less desirable for Bitcoin mining. There's this whole systematic revolt against it, and they're using people like Elon Musk as the frontman. Elon Musk, look at what he's doing with Starlink, all that stuff, right? I mean, holy shit, he's not a guy coming up with all this stuff. Anyway, yeah, so there's the founder of PayPal right there. And that's Peter Thiel on the left right there, obviously. And so people said, yeah, they're doing blood transfusion. That's why he looks the same. He hasn't aged, you know, one day. Anyway, that reminded me of that. But anyway, thank you, Cuckfree Zone. Appreciate that. Also, one more from Cuckfree Zone. Regarding UFOs, any change this is Nazi technology created by the surviving Third Reich in a secret base in Antarctica, and that they're going to come and help us to save our people, smiley face. Hey, a guy can dream, can't he? No, I don't think that. Yeah, I've heard this too. I don't think that's what it is. I think even if it's whatever it is, but if it was a force that was, how do I put this, more capable or even wiser than us, whatever, be it off-world or on-world, but it's a force that's been hiding for a while, if you get my drift, I don't think showing up and fixing our problems for us would be the best thing to do. It would be like a parent breaking into a fight and saying, no, run away, don't do anything, or I'll show that guy, you know, kind of thing. Some point, you have to learn to stand up to the bully. It's a perfectly normal graduation process to be heckled by someone or be pushed around by someone, because it's your job to stand up to them. You don't have to mortally injure them or hurt them. That's not what I'm trying to propose, but I'm saying at some point you defend yourself. There's self-defense, and you have to graduate. You have to live through that yourself. So my point, Cuckfree Zone, is anything that shows up to save us, I would be very wary of, because they don't have any kind of wisdom or understand the situation that we face. Do we need reinforcement? Absolutely, and I wish it so, but nothing's going to come up to save us. It's no one's showing up. It's us. That's it. We're doing this. That's what's happening here. Thank you, Cuckfree Zone. I appreciate that. Very good point. Bill Hoover says, Bill Cooper is vindicated. He described this type of aircraft flying into the ocean he witnessed while in the Navy in his book Beyond the Pale Horse. Remember that? I listened to the presentation many times. Back in the early 90s, he was murdered by the government because of his speech in the early 2000s. Yeah, so what I've heard from Bill Cooper is that he was... Now, this could be, of course, a complete setup, just like, you know, Waco or Ruby Ridge was a setup, in the sense that the government just overreacted and said things. But what the official story, which is, I never, you know, trust, was that he was drunk and belligerent in his home or something like that. And it was like, you have to take me, you know, I'm going to go alive or something. But yeah, they did shoot him. They did kill him. And we still have, I don't think, there are people that knew him, but they weren't there when it happened, so we still are not 100% certain what actually went down. As far as I know, I don't think it's been settled, but it wouldn't be a surprise to me if they took the guy out, right? So anyway, thank you, Bill Hoover. I appreciate that. Also one from Black Philip here before we wrap up. Apparently in Chile's polls, an actual communist is leading for president, of course. They are close to electing all far-left millennial women. Disaster. The prosperous southern cone of South America is done. Yes, I've seen, we played some footage from Chile and just some of the riots and stuff there. So this is when despair in a way sets in, or when normal procedure as usual kind of breaks down, it tends to go one way or the other, right? And we've seen this in history too, right? Where you have really far left factions fighting with far right ones, and then one usually ends up, you know, winning over the others. And as we know, of course, the commies, the far leftists here, they are the experts on mass murder. So anybody that has a tally under their belt, it's international communism. It's about 100 million dead in about 100 years or so. They try to kind of cast shade on the other side, of course, but no one has anything on the commies when it comes to hurting, injuring, and ruining people. Okay, folks, thank you so much again for joining us today. I really appreciate it. Tomorrow, I'm going to work more on the video about the situation in Quetta. I hope I can tie it together. I kind of laid some of it out here today, so we'll see how much we can bring together. We have two videos as well that we're working on that Lana has done, two green screen videos, so those are in the pipeline. And so we hope to have at least one of those up before Friday, before we're back with Flashback Friday. But yeah, guys, thank you so much for joining us today. Always a pleasure having you with us. Thank you for showing up. If you do want to support what we're doing, head on over to redeyesmembers.com. That's the best place to do it. Check out our Weekend Warrior show. That's an exclusive show we do for our members. A lot of shows. We have, 185 in the archives. We also have a second hour of many of the interviews going back to 2006 from members. We have other exclusive videos and things like that too, so definitely check it out. It's well worth it. The best place to go is simply to join us over at Subscribestar. If you want to use your debit or credit card, subscribestar.com/redeyes. Sign up over there. Even if you have or haven't gotten a membership on redeyesmembers.com, doesn't matter. We can hook you up with one. Just send us an email or send us a message on Subscribestar. Let us know that you signed up and what username or email you have with your Red Eyes membership, and we'll connect the two and activate that right away. So thank you so much, guys, for joining us today. Always good seeing you. Take good care. Keep brave. Keep fighting. And we'll see you guys, well, hopefully before Friday, but we'll definitely be back on Friday for Flashback Friday. Take care. We'll see you later.
Do you love Red Eyes? Want more? Get access to exclusive material by signing up for a Red Eyes membership. You'll be able to watch Weekend Warrior, our flagship show, the second hour of interviews, and other special feature videos only for subscribers. Were you a member and we lost you along the way? Renew! We love and appreciate you guys and gals and cannot do this without you. Help us be a sane voice, a lighthouse in the sea of insanity. As times get tougher, as people are searching for answers, they're going to need content like Red Eyes. A little of all your support can go a long way. Thank you.